Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Keith.
How are you?
Doing well, because it's time to talk all about the new music of the week.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be hearing all about new music from Joe Lynch and The Squad in just a few minutes, because the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, folks, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we've got must-hear music with Billboard.com senior editor Joe Lynch. Joe and the team will be chatting about new tunes from Feist, who I love, and more. So stay tuned for that in just a moment.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts.
Before we get into the new Feist music, I just have to say a few classic favorites. I know she's most well known for 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Which
that's
was
the one
featured in the Apple commercial.
That's like the big song I know.
Yes. But my absolute favorite is called Mushaboom. And it's this adorable song about like her looking at her little white picket fence future that she dreams of for herself. And then she does an amazing cover of the Bee Gees' Inside and Out. And that cover actually introduced me to the song Inside and Out, which I then went backward and discovered by the Bee Gees.
Love You Inside and
Love
Out.
Love that song so much, and her cover is amazing.
Love You Inside.
Meanwhile, on new music podcasts, I'm talking about old music. So, Keith, is there any new tunes you've been listening to lately?
I didn't realize you were such a Feist fan.
Yeah.
Feist fan. Hashtag Feist fan. I'm still loving Shawn Mendes's There's Nothing Holding Me Back.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has like this great groove, and it's kind of up-tempo for him. I mean, he's done sort of up-tempo-y things before, but this one, I'm like, I want dance mixes.
Oh, dance remix Shawn Mendes?
Wouldn't that be cool? I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool.
Get him on the dance club songs chart.
Oh, let's make it happen. Shawn, if you're listening, let's make that happen. Anyway, well, Katie?
I guess it's time for must-hear music.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschitz.
What's up, man?
Lindsay Havens.
How are you?
And so this is what we got coming up today. We've got DJ Khaled featuring the
everyone,
world.
Everyone, yeah.
Featuring everyone. A new song from him called I'm the One. Katy Perry featuring Migos. Song is called Bon Appetit. We're going to talk a little bit about Feist's new album, Pleasure. New song from Academy Award nominee Hailee Steinfeld.
Yeah.
Haim's return after 4 years of not having an album out, and then a new song from Foster the People.
Ooh.
But let's start off with Jason's pick. So DJ Khaled, new song I'm the One features Justin Bieber, Quavo, Chance the Rapper, Lil Wayne.
Wow.
So four people, but still, I mean, that's pretty like star-studded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great song. I mean, this is what DJ Khaled does every, like, 3 years. He just has, like, one really awesome one of these just, like, four-person mashups. And what's great is the last one he did, it was called I'm On One with Drake and Ross and Lil Wayne. And, yeah, this one is really fun. I think that it kind of falls apart without Bieber's hook, but the hook mm-hmm. is so good. It kind of makes up for some of the awkward rhymes later. I mean, I think Chance and Quavo are fine. I think Lil Wayne is kind of like subpar on this one, but yeah, that's it's like this is definitely like a summer song contender.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was gonna say the same thing. We've done those literal words.
Wow, look at us!
I wrote summer vibes, so it was a little different.
Summer vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, no, it's what's funny is that I've seen a lot of like split reactions on this song, and I don't really have like a super polarized opinion of I love it or I hate it. I just think it's a really enjoyable, breezy, some would say, listen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I see people saying online that they love it and some people saying they hate it. What do you guys think?
What do you think, Ms. Havens?
Well, this just got official. I would say I love it. I'm not like strongly passionate about it, but I'm more than just a like. Yeah. It's so catchy. It is easy to listen to. Fits into the season, and the people on it are so incredible that, I mean, that alone makes me love it. The most interesting, like, Chance to me, if you watch the video, it's like a different side of Chance the Rapper. I feel like he's just letting loose, and he's usually, like, always singing about a strong message and his faith, and this is just, like, a total 180 from that. So I thought that was fun to see.
Yeah. What do you think, Joe?
I really liked it. I liked it more than I thought, because I feel like DJ Khaled's stuff is hit or miss, even like when sometimes he'll have heavy hitters and it'll just feel like a total waste.
Yeah.
This, like you said, like the Bieber vocal hook is fantastic. Like his voice sounds great. It really pulls it together.
And it's definitely like, I mean, sorry to cut you off, but I feel like this I like this hook more than Bieber's last two huge hooks, which were Let Me Love You, DJ Snake, and Cold Water with Major Lazer.
Yeah,
I like this. This one seems more effortless and less, like, dramatic. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what killed me with Let Me Love You. It just seems like, all right, like, calm down, Bieber.
Yeah.
Let Me Love You. Calm down.
I would say fun. In the kind of arguably negative category, I feel like the music, kind of like the lighthearted synths are pretty close to Ken Jones' Don't Mind. Like, there's a few moments where I feel like it starts just playing and you'd like just switch a couple notes and then suddenly that song is happening. Yeah. And although I think it sounds good, like, I feel like we're going to get to a saturation point with this trend that started because of basically Bieber and Diplo and Skrillex of using a modulated vocal in the background as like additional instrumentation. Which, when it happened, was an incredibly, like, a fresh, novel thing. Now we just keep hearing it over and over. And it hasn't gotten to a point where it's like, please stop. But it's like, I think we're nearing there. Like, we're getting pretty close. Like, in this case, though, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, if this became a song of the summer and I heard this on repeat, you know, at parties and from cars and in stores, like, I would be fine with that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, let's listen to it. So it's DJ Khaled featuring just everyone. And it's called I'm the One. She the one that bring them raindrops. We go back, remember crisscross and hopscotch. You the one that hold me down when the block's hot. I make your dreams come true when you wake up. And your looks just the same without no makeup. Had to pull up on your mama, see what you made of. Ain't gotta worry about them commas, cause my cake up. So that was new DJ Khaled. Side note, with the name I'm the One, there's a RuPaul song called Read You Wrote You, where RuPaul saying I'm the One is the hook, and whenever I see that, I'm like, oh, that's what this song is gonna be.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Everyone must think that too.
I think a lot of other
DJ Khaled definitely had that in mind.
I think he's definitely ripping off RuPaul for sure. All right, so let's talk about another thing featuring Quavo. New Katy Perry featuring Migos, Bon Appetit. So this is the second single from Katy Perry's upcoming album. We still don't know the name, right?
Don't know the name.
So we had Change of the Rhythm, which I loved, actually, but, you know, kind of seemed to stall a little bit. Hit number 4 in the charts, but, like, has sort of, like, just been slipping since then.
Yep.
Pretty mixed reviews. So this is, like, a kind of a chilly electro trap song. With just a ton of, like, food sex puns that are...
Definitely.
To be perfectly honest, I mean, the world did not need more food sex puns.
Disagree.
and I think some of these fall into the dumb category. I mean, some of them are, like, good. But, you know, like, Spread Like a Buffet, I would give, you know, maybe a B-. I think a lot of these kind of, you know, like, cherry pie, though, as a food sex pun... is just, like, at this point, like, we've heard it so many times.
It's true.
But anyways, that's just parsing the puns. Overall, this song, I would say, hasn't gotten great reviews. I think it's good. Like, I like it, but I don't like that it's a single. Like, if this was an album track, I would be like, okay. It's kind of like, to me, like, Peacock on Teenage Dream, I was like, you know what? Not an incredible song, but a fun album track. That's what this feels like to me. The second single confuses me, but I'm down with the song.
I agree with that, I guess. I really don't like this song, but maybe I would like it more if there wasn't so much attention being put on it as her second single, especially following up, like we talked about in our music meeting last Friday, like the political awareness almost of her first single, and then to have this come after.
Yeah, it's less woke.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, as we talked about, and Joe, you missed us discussing Bon Appetit last Friday, but yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. Right after Lady Gaga kind of did like a hard left turn away from the Joanne era, after it came out with her new song The Cure, Bon Appetit is almost a hard left turn before the album came out for Katy mm-hmm. Perry. Like, it seemed like Chained to the Rhythm was setting up this whole like not so subtly political album, and this is kind of like, well, that wasn't the most successful, but at the same time, as I said like last week, Chained to the Rhythm actually was a pretty big hit. It just wasn't big for Katy Perry. Like, she's used to number ones, and this was like a top 20 hit and not a number one hit. So it's kind of surprising to me that she's already doing like a turn away from that thematic element. But I don't know. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. That's a really good point in terms of you'd feel a lot better about this song if it was just like a wacky album track like Peacock. Because that's the thing. Her albums almost all have these kind of silly, dumb songs that are just like, yeah, this is great, but you wouldn't want to hear on the radio a million times. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is going to be a big hit. It's constructed very oddly with like it really like revs up like 2.5 minutes into it, which is super strange. And then like I think the Migos part is cool. But yeah
they sound good. They all get a verse, a small verse.
Yeah. I'm left a little bit cold as well. I really like Chained to the Rhythm too. I kind of wish Migos had been on Chained to the Rhythm and like had a great like
just
trio
skip off of that,
yeah, and then Skip Marley is like, you know what, put him on Bon Appetit, go for it. Don't think that would really work.
Bob Marley's grandson doing a bunch of food sex puns, yeah. Just not gonna work.
The legacy, I don't think that would work either, but that's how I feel.
All right, well, let's listen to it. So it's Katy Perry and Migos, Bon Appetit. Katie putting the bone in Bon Appetit.
Oh, God.
I know, I'm sorry. All right, that was a new Katy Perry. Let us talk about Haim. So, new song right now. This is your pick, Linz. So,
yep.
What do you think about this? Are you a big Haim fan? Did you love Days Are Gone?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Haim fan, but I really do like them, and I'm really excited for new music from them. It's been a long time, and I sort of think this song disappointed some, but it, to me, almost fits their vibe of, like, we're not rushing anything, we took our time with the album, This new song sort of fits that just in terms of, like, tempo. And there's a lot going on production-wise, but the lyrics are so bleak. They're mm-hmm. basically repeating, like, the same four words. But I think that makes it more powerful almost. What would you guys think of it?
I loved Days Are Gone. Mm-hmm. So good. I just love them so much. And they're so good live. I mean, I think, like, it is a little weird that this is like the first, I guess, I don't even know if it's a single, I don't think so, but like,
yeah,
for this to be the first song after a 4-year hiatus between a debut and the next album, like, is a little surprising, but like, I do like it a lot. I mean, Danielle's voice is just like, it really is unique. There's like, it's pretty peerless, like, there's mm-hmm. just a lot of like depth and like hurt in it, but also warmth. It's just like a really unique voice. And I like the slow build to it. I mean, I don't know if you've seen their live show, but it's pretty percussion heavy, especially towards the end. And I like the kind of unique percussion in this. You know, there's a point, I think, towards the end where it's just like drumsticks keeping up the rhythm.
I love that part, yeah.
Yeah, I really do like it. But yeah, like I said, it's kind of an interesting, you know, it's not like a, like, gangbusters, like, here's our really catchy pop song, we're back sort of song.
Yeah, I think it seems like a coming attraction for the album. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, like, it's interesting how we kind of collectively think differently about certain songs on this Must Hear Music podcast based on their you know, the circumstances in which they're released, in the same way that we weren't thrilled with Bon Appetit being the second single from Katy Perry's next album. Like, this to me, as like a teaser track kind of, makes a lot of sense. And it's nice to hear them again. And it's nice to like see that they are finally coming back, and their sound has evolved slightly, but still has kind of the basic, most lovable components in place.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, like you said, a teaser. I mean, it's not on Spotify. Like, this is, it's basically just, there's a YouTube video, which is clearly not intended as, like, here's a finished song. It's, like, it starts out with some studio chatter and ends with more studio chatter. So it definitely is kind of, like, a taste.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's about time, basically. You know, I feel like they talked about having the album come out last year at one point.
Yeah.
And obviously that didn't happen.
Yeah, but they canceled their European tour last year to finish it. So
I really hope it comes out this summer, because I feel like it's just
such a good...
Well,
it is, yeah. It's coming out, I think, July 7th?
Oh, there is a release date.
And they're doing a couple festivals now, too.
Excuse me.
Wow.
I'm very excited, though.
Must know music.
Must know release dates, which I don't, I guess. All right, well, let's listen to it right now. It's the new Haim song. And now you're saying that you need me, baby. And now you're saying that you need me, baby. Ooh, and now you're saying that you love me, baby. All right, that was New Haim. Let us talk about, what else do we got? Let's talk about Hailee Steinfeld. So, new song, Most Girls. This is your pick, Jason.
Hell yeah.
So you got, I know.
No surprises there.
So Hailee.
Yeah, I'm a huge Hailee Steinfeld fan. Like, I thought her EP, which she released in 2015, was like one of the best EPs, definitely my favorite EP of that year, and like one of the best releases of that year, those four songs. I thought it was awesome. I didn't love Starving, which was her biggest hit when she put it out last year. It was a fun song, but it was just like, I don't know. This is more of the vibe of her first EP, and I really like it. It's obviously like positioned as like an empowering pop single. I think it goes a little heavy-handed on that in terms of like the "yes, you are worth it" and kind of sloganeering. Just in terms of the lyrics, I think that it takes a song like Alessia Cara's "Scars to Your Beautiful" and maximizes that.
I think the Alessia Cara influence on this is strong.
Yes, definitely. 100%.
Lyrically, at least.
Yeah. But it, just in terms of a song, like, it's a really fun song to listen to in terms of just, like, the production's very light and refreshing and sunny. And, yeah, she sounds great on it. So, go Hailee. That's what I got.
It just reminds me so much of I Love Myself because of, like, the empowering female... you go girl message.
Yes.
So I feel like she's sort of like carrying this track off of that.
Yep.
But it was good.
Would you listen to it in your spare time?
I did today so that I could discuss
that really
it here.
Counts.
Yeah, that definitely does not count.
I probably wouldn't.
Okay.
But that's like fair. If I heard it on out, I would get into it for a little bit.
Okay.
What do you think, Joe?
I have to say kind of what I was talking about with the DJ Khaled song, actually. This is another one where...
Another one!
It's, again, it has some of that, the modulated vocal thing,
which
is, like, fine. But it also is just, like, another, like, hopping on the trop pop train song. Yeah. And, like, that I'm definitely, like, done with.
For sure.
But, like you said, it is. It's lighthearted. It's fun. What you said about Alessia Cara, I think, is extremely true. But one thing I did like about the lyrics is that, like, how open-minded and open-ended it is. Like, although it's, you're right, there's some sloganeering to it, but it also, like, goes an extra level to be, like, sometimes you feel great in your skin and sometimes you don't, and that's fine, too. Like, it's very, like, it's great when you feel this way, but if you don't feel that way, that's also a good thing, too. Which, I know it's not, like, but I think I appreciate that, because, like, sometimes you can go too much, you know, one way of, like, praising one thing and then there's an implied like, oh, well then you must be implicitly criticizing the opposite, and this like literally goes the extra mile to be like, Either way, it's
very
cool.
It's a very chill sitch song. It's like very like, oh, whatever you want to do. Dope. Awesome. Great.
Yep.
I mean, and it's easy to be cynical about this stuff in terms of like, oh, another like body positive pop song. But like, yeah, it's cool.
I mean,
like,
this stuff's important.
And you know, like, this is obviously more about that. Love Myself was like pretended to be about that, but it was like about having sex with yourself. So you know, I mean,
I don't think this song is about masturbation.
I don't think so either. But you know, she's doing her thing and helping out people.
Mm-hmm.
And one way or another,
what it's all about. All right, well, let's and also, I mean, we should, you know, like, she's also killing it in terms of her acting career.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, have you guys seen Edge of 17?
I did.
I
see
haven't.
You haven't seen
it's
it?
It's sitting in my
really
house
liked it.
Now, actually.
She's incredible in it.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah,
I'm really excited.
I actually have not seen True Grit.
It's good.
Me neither.
It's very good.
Yeah,
she's
I really
great.
Want to see it.
Yeah,
but yeah, Oscar nom.
Mm-hmm.
Haley Steinfeld.
All right, well, let's listen to it. Haley Steinfeld, Most Girls.
Some days you feel so good in your own skin, but it's okay if you want to change the body that you're game in. Because you look greatest when you feel like a damn queen. We're all just playing a game in a way, trying to win that life. Most girls.
All right, that was new Haley. Next up, let's talk about... this is one of my picks, Feist. The song is Pleasure from her new album, which is called Pleasure.
Hell yeah.
It's so I think first Feist album in, oh, I'm going to get this wrong, maybe, what, 4 or 6 years? It's been a minute.
What was her last one called again?
Medals.
Yeah,
that was 2011 or 2012.
So it's been a minute since we've had new Feist. I really love this album. She's kind of going for... so most people know Feist, obviously, through 1, 2, 3, 4,
yep.
which is a very, like, sing-song kind of twee pop, folk pop song. This is, like, a comparatively, like, stark, less warm, like, bare bones kind of, you know, folk singer-songwritery thing. But the thing I love about her is that she has such a, I mean, she has an incredible voice, but also a real strong gift for melody and craft. So even when she's doing this, like, pretty bare bones approach to music, you know, like the strength of the song and like an easily recognizable melody kind of carries everything through. And the whole album is musically diverse-ish. Like some of the stuff, you know, definitely falls into the more single, you know, there are a few songs that literally end in sing-alongs. So it's like, you know, it's not all like, you know, sparse Bruce Springsteen, Nebraska territory, but it definitely is a little more brittle than what we're used to hearing from her. But I love it. I'm really, and this song in particular, I think is fantastic. But what did you guys think?
I want to tell a quick story about Feist. So as you guys know, I go with my dad to Pitchfork Fest every year. Mm. First year he came was 2012. The first night he came, Feist headlined. And at the end of it, he was really pissed. And I said, why are you so pissed? And he said she didn't play 1, 2, 3, 4.
Ooh.
And you got to play the crowd pleaser. You got to play the song everybody wants to hear. You can rail against it, but you got to play the song. So I mention this because I feel like with her last two albums, Feist has completely spent them railing against the success of 1, 2, 3, 4. And it makes a lot of sense that maybe she has played that song in other sets. I've seen her a couple times since then.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she played that song at the Grammys, and, you know, it's become her commercial legacy, at least. I think
it's her only charting song on the Hot 100.
Yeah, and it was a big hit because of that Apple commercial.
It was, yeah.
But I kind of agree that I think that she's so brilliant as a songwriter, and her voice is so compelling, and yet I wish she would veer at least a little bit more into that accessibility, because even without like something like a 1, 2, 3, 4, I mean, if you think about the Reminder, the album that had that song, as well as the one before it, Let It Die, like those songs are so beautiful and like just so like powerful as well, because you know it's still that voice developing and poking around different things. And, you know, she covered a Bee Gees song on Let It Die.
So good.
So good. Yeah. And like, she has a song like Sea Lion Woman on The Reminder that's mm-hmm. that's very like kind of chanty and gospel flavored. And I feel like her last two albums have gone a little bit too in the gray for me. I think that this mm-hmm. one is it's you know, these songs are well crafted, but I do think that I'm missing that feist a little bit.
Wow. So two generations of Lipschitz. Furious at Feist.
Yeah. I mean, I think my dad would go thumbs down harder than me, but I do hope that I want to hear some more fun. I want to hear some more liveliness in these songs. But you know, I still have listened to this album a couple times and enjoyed it, but I just like it's almost like leaving something on the table.
I guess I don't know. I like depressing singer-songwriter folk music. I think that's a great route.
I feel you.
Yeah. What do you think, Lindsay?
It's funny revisiting that song just because she has moved so far away from it. I almost forget that was even her song at this mm-hmm. point. Like you listen to this album all the way through and you would never guess.
Yeah.
It's so different. But as a whole, I really do like this album. It's pretty bluesy almost, mm-hmm. like bluesy rock, which I really enjoyed.
That's your thing.
Totally. But I think over Pleasure, I like the song Sentry. I think that's probably my favorite off the album.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I enjoy it a lot. I'm happy that she has new music out.
Me too. I know. It's been a while. And yeah. It's a generous, I think, 53-minute album. I'm totally there for it. But yeah. I hear what you're saying, Jason. Although yeah. I do say counterpoint to your dad. That,
take well, it easy.
I agree. Important to play the hits, you know, even if you get sick of them. I think an exception to the rule might be Pitchfork Festival. I feel like that's such an indie thing.
Oh, come on.
That Feist can be forgiven for leaving her Hot 100 hit off the off the set list.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, you should have seen my dad when Aww. We saw Modest Mouse and they didn't play Float On.
Ooh.
Oh boy, he was not too happy.
Ugh, sorry about that.
That's okay. What can you do?
All right, well, play the hits, I guess.
Yeah, that's what you can do.
Yeah, that's what you can do, people. Right, so if you see Mr. Lipschitz in the crowd, be like, oh, shit, I guess we're going to have to play Float On, guys. All right, so let's listen to it, Feist Pleasure. Built by what we got built for, as much as what we All right, that was New Feist. Next and last, we've got Foster the People. The song's called SHC. So this is your pick, Lindsay, and this is off of what, like a new EP or something?
I believe they have a third album coming out, but
okay.
It was interesting. They released three songs all at once.
Mm-hmm.
I believe only one of which they're like pushing out as a single, and this is not that. But this happens to me, my favorite of the three that they put out. It's pretty weird just in terms of where it goes. Like at the halfway mark, there's like some weird breakdown where the tempo slows and it sounds like he's singing through like a vocoder almost.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how you say that.
Vocoder. I'm not sure.
I have
sure,
a habit
actually.
Of mispronouncing words.
Yeah.
but it's pretty unexpected from them, which is why I like it. And then it picks right back into the like high energy, mm-hmm. up tempo feel that people sort of know them for from Pumped Up Kicks.
Mm hmm.
So I think it's fun.
That would be, not to just keep going on this, but that would be, I have to say, if Foster People did play a show and didn't play Pumped Up Kicks,
Mr.
what would
Lipschitz
your dad
would
do? Pretty,
he would storm
oh
out.
Oh my goodness, yeah. He would not know what to do with himself.
He would just be flabbergasted beside himself.
Who even are these people?
I don't think, I will say, I don't think my dad has any opinion of Foster the People. So what can you do?
Sorry to derail with that. I have to say I'm not like, I don't dislike, but I'm not a big fan of them. I kind of respect their songs, but it's just they usually don't like grab me enough that I keep coming back to them. But
yeah.
I did like this a lot. The production was really cool. I liked kind of, you know, you mentioned like there's some like robotic chirping in the background, which
yeah.
is like kind of cool and different for them. And I like it. Yeah, towards the end, it kind of really picks up. There's that like urgent guitar strumming, kind of like you know, like the Smiths that they're most
right.
Passionate or whatever. I don't know. I liked it. I liked it more than I thought I would. So
me too. And I honestly didn't pay attention to their sophomore album very much. So this, but this says a lot because this got me back in.
You're back in the Foster the People fold.
Totally.
You're a Foster the Person again.
Good job on that one.
Yeah, maybe not. Wait, I don't know. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, well, I don't really have too many hot takes on this one. I will say the second Foster the People album, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Coming of Age, a pretty good single. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with this one.
All right. I mean, I wish them all the best. I really do.
I think it was interesting they released three songs at once. I don't know how many people have done that, especially after being gone for a couple
JoJo.
Years.
JoJo, the Tringle.
The Tringle.
Hashtag the Tringle.
What were those ones again? Do you remember?
Pure Love. I forget all of them.
Okay.
I know.
I feel like, and we were kind of talking about this the other day,
Tringle.
You and me and Andrew, just how, like, in the internet era, like, you kind of just, like, keep releasing songs, and it doesn't matter as much. There's less focus on, like, this is the song. It's just kind of, you can, like, release three at once.
Yeah.
You can release one every other week.
Yep.
Like, things are a lot less relaxing.
Do whatever you want.
And if people, like, don't like something, there's less a sense of, like, oh, this person sucks now. You're just kind of like, eh, I guess I'll wait till the next one comes, and maybe I'll like that one. But anyways, I do like it, so... So nice. Thanks for suggesting, Lindsay.
Yeah, of course.
So, Foster the People, SHC. Let's listen to it. All right, that was the new Foster the People, and that is all we got for this week. So thanks, guys, for joining.
Oh, of course.
Do we have any Jason, I know you're into the teases now. Do we know what's coming up this week?
I don't think so. But yeah, if people want to give us a rating or review on iTunes, that would be cool. If they want to subscribe to the Pop Shop feed or the Must Hear Music feed, even cooler. Yeah, I agree. Joe, you're a little bit under the weather these days, so...
I think that's the tease, is that next
feel
time
better.
I'll
we'll
be
have
not
a healthy
sick.
Joe.
Yeah, we'll be healthy.
Yay, thanks.
Hopefully.
Thanks, Jason. All right, well thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you around next time.
See ya.